First off, I'd like to thank you for the opportunity to bring to you another portion of God's Word. And I've mentioned this before, but when I prepare lessons, I'm mostly preaching to myself or find something that I either struggle with or something that I think is important. This topic I'm going to teach about today is something I've taught before. This is a different lesson, but it's something I think is vitally important. A couple went to a county fair, and while they were there, they were in one thing, and they had a penny scales. And it was one of those that would give you your weight and also your fortune. So the man went and got on the scale and got the car. He looked at his wife and says, "Look at this. It says that I'm energetic, bold, and resourceful." He showed her the car and she said, "Well, they got your weight wrong too." Well, sometimes the truth hurts. But we live in an age of information. We are constantly bombarded with news, with sports, advertisements, videos, statistics. We hear a lot about misinformation, about propaganda and lies. Satan's ability to deceive and promote lies has really gone exponential with the advent of television, radio, and the internet. Lying seems to become part of the norm. Now, I want you to emphasize, particularly for the young people, this is something that you need to listen to, because this is something that you're going to have to contend with. One American survey reports that Americans lie at the drop of a hat. 91% lie about trivial matters. 36% lie about important matters. 75% lie to their parents. 73% lie to their siblings. 69% lie to their spouses. 65% that they believe that there's no absolute truths. A high school freshman was urged to go out for track. His father had been very successful running the mile in high school and college. So his son decided to go out for track, as he asked. And during the tryouts, the coach put him against the best miler they had. And nonetheless, the boy was beaten badly. Well, he didn't want to disappoint his dad, so he came back and told his dad, says, "Well, they put me up against the best miler, and I came in second." Well, that was actually a half-truth. It was true, but it was a half-truth, because he was deceiving his dad. He didn't want to disappoint him. And we've all told half-truths before. I have. I one time got in trouble when I was about 10 or 12. My cousins and I had gone over to the, what we call the broom handle. They baked pallets and stuff out of wood, and all the scrap metal they would, or scrap wood they would throw in the back. So they weren't using it, so me and my cousins went down and got the scrap wood, and we made a treehouse. Well, my dad got upset because we didn't ask permission for it. And so he told me, he says, "I want you to go down there Monday morning and tell the manager that you took the wood and ask him if it was okay." Well, that day when I got home, I called and I asked if the manager was there. He says, "No, he's gone to Atlanta." I said, "Okay." My dad came in and you could tell. I mean, he had this dark cloud over his head. His face was really grim, and he looked at me and he says, "Did you go see Mr. McKinley?" I says, "No." That time he jerked me up by my collar and I got the worst spanking I ever got in my life. And my mom was trying to tell him that I didn't go see him because he wasn't there. I'd called. My dad was very sorry for that, but once again, sometimes the half-truth can turn out to be have a great impact upon you. Truth is a rare commodity in our world. I want you to imagine for a moment a world in which did not contain truth. In other words, no truth is firm. All truth is relative. What's true for you may not be true for me. What kind of world would that be? Think about that. If there's no standard truth. Truth is whatever you want to make of it. How would you like to drive down a road where there's no standard truth? When you come up to a stop sign or stoplight, do you stop or do you go all through? And think about the other people. That would be chaos. Some would stop, some wouldn't. Suppose you didn't believe that you had to drive on the right-hand side of the road. When I was in Okinawa in 1978, Japan changed from driving on the right to driving on the left. And the day they did it, I went down to the corner and sat and watched all the chaos that was going on. People were driving on the right, driving on the left. It was really chaotic, and there were numerous wrecks because of that. Okay? There would be chaos on the roads if there was no standard of truth. Some think we already have chaos, but that's beside the point. Think about a society where parents would no longer teach their children right from wrong. They wouldn't want to impose their beliefs on their children. What would happen if mom and dad didn't teach them what's right and wrong? What if they said there really is no truth? Okay? Would we just make up our own truth? Or we say we couldn't possibly understand because there's too many complicated situations, different interpretations, so there is no truth. The disastrous results of this would be a world that becomes a place of cruelty and anarchy. And we're already seeing that in this world. So how does Satan attack truth? Well, first off, he encourages this idea of relative truth. Okay? Jesus speaking to the Pharisees, literally calls Satan the father of lies. I have a lot of scriptures in my passages, and I urge that you write them down and go back and look at them later. I have a couple that we'll turn to the Bible and look at. But in John 8:44, it says, "You are of the father your devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own, for he's a liar and the father of it." So what particular lie that we deal with today that we must defend against? And this is it. Truth changes. That's what a lot of people want to tell you, that there is no absolute truth. It changes from people to people, from person to person. And in this, if this deep and penetrating lie can affect all parts of society, and there are many ways to state this particular lie, such as truth changes from person to person. Whatever you believe in your heart is true. Whatever is voted on by the majority is true. Truth is whatever you can make someone else believe. Truth is in the eye of the beholder. Everything is relative. Truth is relative. Truth is defined and created by each new generation. And we're seeing some of that today. Everyone can be right at the same time. Different strokes for different folks. Truth is a matter of perspective. If you believe something hard enough, it becomes true. Have you heard any of those? Do you believe any of those? Relative truth is the belief and worldview that truth changes based on an individual's understanding. With relative truth, there are no absolute truths. And what may be true for you is not true for me, but both are true. Relative truth is the rejection of absolute truth. One reason we may want to accept relative truth is that it allows us to do whatever we want to do. It allows us to live the life that we want to live because we become the standard, but it becomes an issue in our personal lives and our society. The devil wants any and all of us to exchange the truth of God for a lie. Turn to Romans, the first chapter. Beginning at verse 18. "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because that which is known about God is evident within them. For God made it evident to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, his eternal power, and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that they are without excuse." "For even though they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks, but they became futile in their speculations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the incorruptible God for an image in the form of corruptible man and of birds and four-footed animals and crawling creatures. Therefore, God gave them over in the lust of their hearts to impurity, and their bodies might be dishonored among them. For they exchanged the truth of God for a lie, and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever." So they changed the truth of God into a lie. They want to exchange this absolute truth for the relative truth, so as to exchange Satan's standard for any other standard. Consider some of the current relative truths. Boys declaring that they are girls, or girls declaring that they're boys. Politicians who can't even define what a woman is. People who believe that a man can conceive and carry a baby. What headline from a UK paper said, "Transgender man gives birth to non-binary partner's baby with female sperm donor." Wow, there's so many things wrong with that headline. So many things wrong with that. They talk about, with regards to marriage, gender, even human reproduction, about truth being relative. But absolute truth would say this. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. Absolute truth would say males and females are two genders. Marriage is between a man born from birth and a woman born from birth for a lifetime. Women physically produce children from material made or carried by both men and women. These truths are from the Bible, not political statements, not opinions that impact our relationships, health care, and the view of our identity. So what is truth? What is truth? Webster defines truth as conformity to facts or reality, integrity, consistency, exactness, verified fact. It implies firmness, stability, constancy, and faithfulness. Truth is the foundation from which we build our thoughts and ideas and lives. Truth is the thing that we can put our anchor to, and we can anchor this our lives to this. Without truth, there is no foundation from which to build our lives. Consider the foundation of a building. If that foundation was constantly moving, what happens to the building? We see this in earthquakes. Earthquake happens and the building begins to shake. What happens? It all crumbles. So if we have no foundation, if we don't have the truth, our lives can be full of chaos. We are living in a society that is increasingly intolerant of truth, and we are reaping the fruits of that. We see all today that when people put out the truth, for example, about the COVID on the social media, that they will censor that. They don't want to hear the truth. Society is moving to the point where there is no absolute truth which you can base your lives. And even if there are absolutes, you cannot know them because life is too complex. But one of God's attributes is truth. That's one of God's attributes, is truth. God wants you to know the truth. To know the truth. Truth is conformity to a fact or faithfulness to a standard. Truth is mentioned in the Old Testament and New Testament about 139 times. And the word true is listed about 100 times. Truth and what is true is an emphasis for those who follow God and are part of his kingdom. The command to be a person of truth and to know truth, to speak truth, is all over the Bible. The Bible has much to say about it, particularly the book of Psalms. I'm going to read just a few verses from that. Psalms 119, 160 says, thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy rich, righteous judgments is yours forever. Psalms 145, 18. The Lord is nigh to all them that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth. And Psalms 86, 11 says, teach me thy way, O Lord. I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name. When we look at God, we find that God is not only truthful, but the Bible says he is the God of truth. That's a concept that we need to understand. God wants us to know the truth. Truth is presented in Scripture as a chief element in the nature of God. Psalms 31:5 says, into thine hand I commit my spirit. Thou hast redeemed me, O Lord, God of truth. Isaiah 65:16. And he who blesses himself in the earth shall bless himself in the God of truth. And he that swears in the earth shall swear by the God of truth, because the former troubles are forgotten, and because they are hid from mine eyes. Psalms 86:15. But thou, O God, art a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering, and plenteous in mercy and truth. And Psalms 18:30. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried or true. He is a buckler to all those who trust in him. A biblical worldview accepts God as the source of absolute truth. And because God has a standard, relative truth does not exist. A Christian worldview sees the Bible as without error and the source of God's truth. God defines what is right and what is wrong and what is true and what's untrue. The overall summary that we get about truth from the book of Psalms is that God and his word is truth and leads us inwardly and outwardly to live a life that reflects his righteousness and his standard of wisdom. So why is truth so important? Charles Spurgeon, a famous preacher from the late 1800s, once preached, discernment is not knowing the difference between right and wrong. It is knowing the difference between right and almost right. Think about that. There are some things that you hear that's almost right, but it's not right. in the Old Testament and New Testament, truth is a fundamental quality of God. It's a part of his holiness, part of his justice, and part of his mercy. In Exodus 34:6, it says, "The Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, 'The Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth.'" Deuteronomy 32:4 says, "He is the rock. His word is perfect. For all his ways are judgment. A God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is he." Psalm 57:3 says, "God shall send his mercy and his truth." Truth is part of promises and prophecy and covenants. It's part of the inspiring word written down of his word. Jesus Christ in John 1:14 says he was full of grace and truth. And in John 14:6 he says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." The Holy Spirit is also called the Spirit of the truth, found in both in John 14:15 and 16. So truth is a fundamental quality of God, and it's his standard. That is why lying, slandering, gospel, libel, blasphemy, boasting, complaining, and other actions are sinful. They break from the standard of truth. And as people of God, we have to seek the truth. Christians are people who put away falsehood and gossip, lying, and all those other types of actions because we want to reflect our God. We have an enemy that wars against us, and physically, emotionally, and spiritually, and we need to stand firm against all his schemes which come to us as lies, deception, false beliefs, worldly philosophies, and beliefs from other religions. And I'll tell you right now, if you go to college, you're going to encounter some of those professors who teach lies and deceptions. They think it's true, and they believe in relative truth. If you read Ephesians 6, and this is a very famous passage, Paul describes the armor of God. In Ephesians 6:14, it says, "Stand firm, therefore, having belted your waist with truth." That was the New American Standard. King James says, "Standing therefore, having your loins girded about with truth." Please note that Paul talks about the armor of God, and the first item he mentions is the belt of truth. Now, why did he pick the belt of truth to go first? Well, this comes from his understanding. In his day, Roman soldiers wore tunics, a hole cut for the head and for the arms. And oftentimes, it was a large piece of material that went down. And the problem was, it hung low and loose over the body. And as you can imagine, a loose tunic in the middle of a battle was not a desired thing. Soldiers would gather up loose fabric and make sure it was tucked into the belt and all of the straps. For a Roman soldier, the belt was a belt of leather, most likely a little thicker and wider than you and I might imagine. But it helped protect the soldier's stomach. The phrase for gathering up all the loose fabric is to gird up your loins. And this phrase means get ready for something difficult or get ready for a battle. So how does one gird up one's loins? They would gather all the material in the front, and the material make it snug in the back, and then pull the fabric under their legs like a diaper. They would gather the material, bring it around and tie it, or strap it to the belt. Okay? So what happens if a soldier chose not to gird his loins? The loose tunic could cause him or to trip or lose mobility. It would cause him or have an enemy that material for him to grasp. For this reason and many more, a soldier would have a sturdy belt, probably made of leather, and they would make sure their garments were tightly tied and ready for battle. The belt is mentioned first because it is part of the armor that holds all the other pieces together, or it was a piece that a soldier would put on first when dressing for battle. What matters for Christians is that it's attached to the belt, truth. That's what we want to gather together. We want to be ready for attacks from our enemy. The belt of truth that Paul mentions in Ephesians 6 is a belt that wraps around those who are believers in Jesus Christ. It's meant to be applied to every day with the authority of God. Absolute truth shows the truth and makes demands of us rather than offering suggestions or alternatives. The truth that Paul mentions in Ephesians 6:14 is that truth is true for all people, all cultures, all ages, and all situations. Truth is so important because our society is filled with some things that which are right, some things which sound almost right, some things that are wrong, some that are completely wrong, and we need to know the difference. We need to know what the standard of God is from the Bible and how that compares with what we are hearing and what we are believing. The armor that we put on begins with the belt of truth, because there's much in our society that competes for our hearts, our minds, and our souls. You and I need to take everything that surrounds us in our lives and tuck it in and tie it to that absolute truth. If biblical truth does not agree with it, we need to let it go. When God and I disagree about something, it is I who needs to change, because God sets the standard. He is the source of truth. We need to change and be secured by biblical truth in our lives. Paul warns us that we need to stand ready against the wiles of the devil, to be firm and steady, and ready against the schemes of the devil that attack biblical truth. You and I must know the truth is defined by the Bible. So when a suggestion, a habit, a person, an opportunity, a fad, a rational choice or an irrational choice, a moral issue or a political issue, or a life change comes our way, we will be able to know the truth and how to navigate it. When the standard truth is known, then you can run everything else by to know what is actual truth so that you can stay faithful to God. And you must stay faithful. So how do we apply the belt of truth? When confronted with an issue, we always go to the Bible and search out truth. If it isn't from God, don't tie yourself to it. So what happens if you choose not to put on the belt of truth and decide not to go for lies? Any one of us can exchange the truth of God for a lie, and we can live the way we want. The enemy can grab part of your marriage, your job, your identity, and cause chaos. Okay. Satan will bombard you with doubt and false beliefs that makes you an easy target in all kinds of situations. He uses all different kinds of people to do this. It could be your employer at work. It could be your teacher. Okay? It could be your next door neighbor that Satan uses to kind of make sure that you waver, don't understand what the standard truth is. The belt of truth secures your identity, your beliefs and thoughts and emotions to God, and secures your mind and heart and soul. And we must be intentional about our relationship to God. If we don't really know God, we really don't know truth. It really is that simple. We need to be in the Bible on a regular basis, reading and thinking and meditating on what we read, because God has expressed divine truth there. We cannot know absolute truth if we don't know God or the Bible. So we need that standard truth, and we need to basically get ready for action. We need to gird up our loins with that belt. And we need that belt in order to be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might to stand against the schemes of the devil. We must choose to change when we encounter absolute truth. It doesn't matter how we are raised or society's standards, or even we think that makes logical sense may not be true. It's easy to believe and live lies. We must decide that God is God and he is Lord and his way is best, and we will follow him no matter what is going on. Society and politics and science all change. They all change. Okay? And we must make sure that we align with God. We must conform to that standard truth to gird you up. We must submit and change to absolute truth in order to wrestle against spiritual forces that wish to collide you into chaos and destruction. So be strong in the Lord and the strength of his might. We must put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the armor of God that you may stand firm. Having fastened on the belt of truth, which will enable you to know the truth, to live by truth, and not be destroyed in your soul by lies that make it weigh into your heart. The truth of God is an assurance to people of his righteous judgment and condemnation of sin and sinners. Since God is truth, what he says can be trusted standard by which we can live in a consistent way that is pleasing to God. Absolute truth to guard your mind and heart and emotions and spirit so you stand firm with God to the end. Psalms 25:5 says, "Lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day." 2 Timothy 2:15 says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." And we talked a little bit about earlier here, that Brian did, about when Jesus stood before Pilate. They had this conversation. Pilate asked Jesus if he was a king. And this is how he replied. Pilate said, "Art thou a king then?" And Jesus answered, "Thou sayest I am a king. To this end I was born. And for this cause I came to the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice." And Pilate said unto him, "What is truth?" And when he had said this, he went out against the Jews and said unto them, "I find no fault in him." Pilate wanted to know what the truth was, but he did not hang around long enough to get the answer. He didn't understand about absolute truth. There is truth, and God is truth. And since God is truth, all he says is true, and it can be trusted and followed. God wants us to know, and he wants us to know the truth. We can know the true God through Jesus. Turn to Matthew, the 11th chapter. Read the last few verses that we read. Matthew 11, verse 25. At that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for it seemed good in thy sight, all things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knows the Son but the Father, neither knows any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. What Jesus is doing is he's inviting us to come to him, to learn from him, to find the way of freedom. He describes himself as a humble and gentle in heart, and you have nothing to fear. He is a gentle and patient master. He lays upon us an easy yoke and a light burden if we will but come to him. This is one of the great paradoxes of the Christian life. Under his yoke, we find rest. When we lose ourselves in love, we find ourselves. When we die to our self-centeredness, we begin to live. The invitation is yours. Please choose to live. Think on these things as we stand and sing.